Today, February 12, 2013.
Mr. President.
Senator from Newton.
I move further reading that the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as though it had been fully read.
You've heard the motion. As many as are of the opinion it shall prevail, say aye. Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Reading is dispensed with. Introduction of guests. Senator from the 2nd. 7th.
Mr. President, it is my pleasure to introduce to the body Roy Nelson and his son Daryl Nelson. They are both from Lee Summit. They are also friends and former constituents of the senator from the 8th. Daryl Nelson is a doctor, and he is down testifying on medical issues today, and I would ask the body made them feel welcome.
Let's welcome the guests of the senator from the 7th to the Missouri Senate here today. Introduction, Senator from Polk.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have some special guests with me today from the Dallas County Technical Center, and they are up in the upper chamber in the red jackets up there, and I would appreciate if the body would make them welcome.
Let's welcome the guests of the Senator from Polk. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have some very special guests as well. It gives me great pleasure to introduce California High School DECA students who have come to visit and observe debate this morning as part of Missouri Association for Career and Technical Education Legislative Day. Please stand if I would call your name. They're up behind me. There they are. Cortland Gerhardt, Taylor Bleich, Olivia Kunze, Taylor Walters, Anna Strickfaden, Audrey Imhoff. They are accompanied by their advisor, Julia Porter. I ask that the Senate please make them feel welcome.
Let's welcome
today
these guests of the Senator from Cole to the Missouri Senate. Senator from Webster. Proceed. We're delighted to welcome the guests of the Senator from Webster from Texas County, Missouri. Introductions, Senator from the 7th again.
Mr. President, I had three gentlemen from Grandview, Missouri, City Councilman Jim Crane, City Councilman Brent Stino, and City Councilman John Maloney join us for Municipal League.
Let's welcome the guests of the Senator from the 7th. Senator from Barton, I apologize. I ordinarily would not go back to one senator who's already introduced before I entered, but he was on his feet. Proceed, Senator.
All right, Mr. President, thank you. I have introductions this morning. My first group is in the rear gallery from Lamar, and if they would stand as I introduce them, there's John Akato, Rose Compton, Ashton Kirkpatrick, Caitlin McGibbon, Jade Morgan, Trent Morgan, Jack Nair, Jacob Russell, and Ty Thrasher. They all are a part of the group that we're seeing around the Capitol today representing career and technical education. I'd ask the body to welcome them.
Let's welcome the guests of the Senator from Barton to the Missouri Senate.
Mr. President, I have a group from Midway High School, Trevor Thompson, who is to my right and on your left, and also Eli Suarez, who is on my right, your left, and Teresa Byram, their instructor. Would the body please make them welcome?
Let's welcome these guests of the Senator from Barton to the Missouri Senate.
Mr. President, Mr. Matt McIntyre from Archie, a teacher out of Archie, is on my right and to your left. And if he would raise his hand so the body would know who it is, I'd ask the body to welcome him.
Thanks. More?
Mr. President, one more group. I would like to introduce to your left and on my right, Cody Yarick with FFA, Tracy Stevener with FFA, Rich Hill, both of them Rich Hill, and Brian Gillis, their instructor. If that you would wave so the body would recognize who you are and would welcome them.
Let's welcome these guests of the Senator from Barton. Further guests? Senator from Barton? No? Introductions. Petitions, memorials, remonstrances, resolutions, concurrent resolutions. Senator from the 1st. Send it forward. So, Read the bill. Oh, I'm sorry. Care to explain your resolution?
It's a groundwater testing resolution, Mr. President.
It comes with the territory. Printed in the journal, concurrent resolutions, introduction of bills, Senator from Buchanan.
Bills?
Send your bill. How many?
Three.
Send your three bills forward. Read the first bill.
Senate Bill number 307, introduced by Senator Schauf, an act relating to disclosure of contractual payment amounts for health care services between health carriers and health care providers.
Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. This bill would probably do more to bring down the cost of health care than any other thing we could do. Right now, when you go and get a medical service, you have no way of knowing how much it's going to cost, in spite of having insurance, because it's a secret as to what the contracted amount is between the healthcare provider and the insurance company. And if you could know that amount, then you could choose the lower cost healthcare provider, whether it be an MRI or a physician service or a hospital service. Well, what we need to do is we need to fix the problem of keeping this data secret, because the insurance company will tell you the day after you have the service, they'll send you the explanation of benefits, and then you'll know. But they won't tell you the day before because it's a secret. And all this bill does is outlaw that secrecy clause so that we can actually have true competition. Thank you, Mr. President.
Read the second bill.
Senate Bill number 308, introduced by Senator Schauf. An act relating to requiring health benefit plans to establish equal out-of-pocket requirements for oral anti-cancer medications and intravenously administered chemotherapy medications.
Senator?
No explanation.
Read the third bill.
Senate Bill 309, introduced by Senator Schauf, an act relating to the operation of health benefit exchanges by certain public benefit corporations.
No explanation needed.
Senator from the Fifth.
Mr. President, I have two bills.
Send them forward.
Thank you.
Read the first bill.
Senate Bill number 310, introduced by Senator Nasheed, an act relating to expungement of criminal records.
Senator.
Mr. President, this is a bill that's very dear to my heart. What we have too often is men and women, they come out of prison and they knock on the doors of opportunities. And the doors are slammed in their face because they walk in the door with the stigma of being an ex-felon. And what happens is they come back on our come to our streets and they wreak havoc. They sell drugs on our street corners, they break into homes, and they do everything that's criminal. So without this bill, we're gonna continue to have a high recidivism rate. This bill will allow for those individuals who have served out their time 5 years after coming home from prison for 5 years straight. Those individuals walk a straight and a narrow road. They can go to the courts and allow and ask for their records to be expunged. And we're only talking about those who have committed nonviolent offenses. We're not talking about alcoholics or pedophiles. We're talking about prostitution, those that committed nonviolent offenses, and those that were in the rear of child support.
Senate Bill number 311. Introduced by Senator Nasheed, an act relating to school turnaround models to transform public schools designated in the lowest performing 20% of schools in the state.
Senator.
Mr. President, I'm just going to call this the Parental Involvement Act. Thank you.
The Senator from the 11th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have two bills to introduce.
Send them forward. Read the first bill.
Senate Bill number 312, introduced by Senator Lavota, an act relating to retirement benefits.
Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is an accountability act to make sure those who are paid with the taxpayer money are accountable to that.
Read the second bill.
Senate Bill number 313, introduced by Senator Lavota, an act relating to criminal case surcharges for counties and cities or counties or cities with domestic violence shelters.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is a good bill that will help our domestic violence shelters around the state. Thank you.
Senator from Cape Girardeau.
Have a bill.
Send it forward. Read the bill.
Senate Bill number 314, introduced by Senator Wallingford, an act relating to professional applications containing Social Security numbers.
No explanation necessary.
Senator from Johnson. Send it forward.
Right.
Read the bill.
Senate Bill number 315, introduced by Senator Pierce, an act relating to collection of property taxes.
Senator.
It's a bill about an act relating to property taxes.
Introduction of bills. Senator from Polk.
Mr. President, I have a bill.
Send it forward. Read the bill.
Senate Bill number 316, introduced by Senator Parson and Senator Justice, an act relating to surcharges for municipal traffic violations.
Senator. No explanation needed.
Senator from the third.
The bill.
Send it forward. For what purpose does the senator from Barton seek recognition?
President, I ask unanimous consent to introduce a special guest.
Hearing no objection, proceed with your introduction.
Thank you, Mr. President. To your left and to my right is Ms. Caroline Byram, who is currently the state reporter for FBLA, the Future Business Leaders of America. She's from Freeman in Cass County. She has stood already at, without even being commanded, and I would ask the Senate to please welcome her.
Let's welcome this guest of the Senator from Barton. Read the bill of the Senator from the third.
Senate Bill number 317, introduced by Senator Romine, an act relating to providing proof of financial responsibility for motor vehicle operation in an electronic format with penalty provisions.
Already explained.
Senator from the second.
I have two bills, Mr. President.
Send them forward. Read the first bill.
Senate Bill number 318, introduced by Senator Roop, an act relating to abortion record keeping.
Senator.
I just wanted to comment on what a great job the doorman Clarence Carter did walking that up there, Mr. President. No explanation.
Read the second bill.
Senate Bill number 319, introduced by Senator Roop, an act relating to the modernization of certain information provided by insurance companies.
Senator, oh. Introduction of bills. Senator from Boone.
I have two bills.
Send it forward.
No explanation, Mr. President.
Read the first bill.
Senate Bill number 320, introduced by Senator Schaefer, an act relating to the University of Missouri Board of Curators.
Read the second bill.
Senate Bill 321, introduced by Senator Schaefer, an act relating to the licensing of home inspectors with penalty provisions and an effective date.
Senator from Green.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have two excellent and simple bills that need no explanation.
Send them forward. Read the first bill. Come on.
Have a great day.
Yeah, thank you. You too. We're still on bills.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Senate Bill number 322, introduced by Senator Dixon, an act relating to the immunity from civil liability for law enforcement officers.
Read the second bill.
Senate Bill 323, introduced by Senator Dixon, an act relating to job creation incentives.
Further introduction of bills. Introduction of bills. Senator from Newton. Senator from the 23rd.
Mr. President, when convenient, please refer the gubernatorial appointments appearing on pages 255 through 257 of the Senate Journal for Tuesday, February 12, 2013, to the Committee on Gubernatorial Appointments.
It is now convenient, and it will be so referred.
Thank you, Mr. President. Also, would you please refer Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 42, Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 117 and Senate Bill 139 to the Committee on Government Accountability and Fiscal Oversight.
It will be so referred.
Thank you.
Senator from Newton.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go the order of business of Senate bills for perfection. I would ask that you call the calendar.
Seeing no objection, we will go on Senate bills for perfection. On the calendar, first bill is Senate Bill 28, the Senator from the 8th.
Taken up for perfection.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from the 8th.
Mr. President, now I move for Senate Bill 28 be declared perfected and order printed. Mr. President, the Senate Bill 28 was brought to me by a constituent. That constituent works in the unemployment insurance arena. He brought to me a few cases that I thought were intriguing and quite downright shocking that these individuals actually received unemployment benefits. And I thought it would be important to go over a few of these cases as I introduce this bill to the body. Employee falling asleep on the job and receiving unemployment benefits. Obviously, he wasn't working if he was sleeping. Violently wiping off a filing cabinet on his way out after a meeting. Urinating off of the top of a school building while school was in session, getting unemployment benefits. A company policy has, if you are tardy more than 14 times in a 12-month period, you'd be terminated. This individual did get unemployment benefits. Last year, the Missouri Chamber brought us a few that I thought were important that we go over as well. Fired an employee that was caught stealing on camera and still got unemployment benefits. Fired an employee for pinching another co-employee's rear end and got unemployment benefits. Fired an employee for being absent and still got unemployment benefits. Terminated for urinating in another employee's coffee cup, got unemployment benefits. Employee was full-time, went to part-time because of absenteeism, and still got unemployment benefits. And then the last one I'm going to mention here is a school employee using profanity in front of two witnesses and students got unemployment benefits. Once we found out there was an issue here in unemployment benefits, we looked at how we could solve the problem. And what we did is we determined that the term misconduct needed to be changed, and that's what Senate Bill number 28 does. It redefines misconduct. We are using the Florida's definition. Florida has passed this law, and after 18 months, they have reduced their debt on unemployment down from almost $1 billion to almost nothing. I think this is the right step forward. There's no better way for us to help Missouri businesses than change the definition of misconduct. Mr. President, I'd like to inquire the Senator from Andrew.
Senator from the 8th has moved that Senate Bill 28 be declared perfected and ordered printed. Senator from the 8th, who are you asking to inquire?
Senator from Andrew.
Would the senator from Andrew yield? The senator from Andrew does not appear to be in the chamber. Sergeant-at-Arms, please retrieve the senator from Andrew. Three senators on the floor. Senator from Franklin, what purpose do you seek recognition?
I seek unanimous consent to introduce a special guest while we wait for the other senator.
Hearing no objection, Senator, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. On my left, your right, we have our doctor of the day, Dr. Elliot Korn. He is the chief of ophthalmology at Missouri Baptist Hospital and the president of the State Society of Ophthalmologists. If the good doctor would raise his hand, just in case anyone's not feeling well today.
The Senate, please welcome our doctor of the day to our chamber today. Senator from the 11th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
President, I seek consent to introduce some special guests.
Hearing no objection, Senator, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to introduce some folks from Independence, Missouri, some of the leadership of our community. Councilman Kurt Doherty, Councilman Jim Schultz, and our City Manager Robert Heacock, they're here on the side. And I'd like the Missouri State Senate to give them a warm welcome.
Will the guests of the Senator from the 11th please rise? We welcome you to the Missouri Senate this morning. Senator from Lewis, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Mr. President, I wish unanimous consent to introduce some very special guests today.
Hearing no objection, Senator, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Today with us, as we have in the past, we have a group of the FFA leaders in our presence today. The following FFA officers, two of them down here on the floor, is Rihanna Belden, and she's from South Shelby, and Sonia Perry. They're both from my district. And then, Mr. President, up in the upper gallery, we have Jaylen Bergman from Paris, Courtney Spencer from Aurora, Sonia Perry from Bowling Green, Ryan Messner from Stanbury, Samantha Goodson from Norburn, Rihanna Belden from South Shelby, Kenny Swope from Boonville, Allison Smith from Crest Ridge, Katie Gibson from Nichols Career Center, Sarah Baston from Carthage, Cody Stewart from Ash Grove, Ashley Jones from Sparta, Mallory Burris from Bakersfield, Cody Shoup from Lynn, Anna Eftink from Bloomfield, Sam Turner from Bernie, and Brady James from Knox County. And these are our great leaders of our FFA organization. They're here in the Capitol today, and I'd ask that the Senate make them feel very welcome.
Let's welcome all the guests of the Senator from Lewis who are here in our Capitol this morning. Senator from Andrew, did you yield to an inquiry from Senator from the 8th?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, I've introduced Senate Bill number 28, and I know that there's a scenario that you have enlightened me on, and I thought it'd be good for you to tell the body about your situation with unemployment benefits that of an employer in, I believe it's in your district.
I've got two different stories from two different employers, both that articulate and underscore why we need to have some reform here. The first one actually was a lumber company, a family that owns five lumber stores, and what they had a hard-working guy for this story. Let's call him Tom. Actually, let's call him Rob. This hard-working guy, Rob, comes to work every day. He works hard, but you know, Rob's one of those guys that once in a while he just messes stuff up. In fact, almost all the time he messes stuff up. Rob went out one day on a delivery. Took the delivery out, dropped it off, came back to the store, comes pulling in the driveway, jumps out of the truck to run inside and find out where the next delivery is. Rob forgets to put the truck in park. In this particular lumber store, the store sets up front in their admin offices. There's a different building back behind. The truck, because it wasn't put in park, goes rolling down the hill and slams into the admin building, knocking out the corner of the building and taking out two walls. They said, Rob, you know, we've done all we can do, but there's only so much of you we can handle and afford. And so as a result, we're going to fire you. And so they did. They terminated Rob for not putting the truck in park, rolling down the hill, knocking out the building, and the challenges that happened there. A couple weeks go by, a week goes by, something like that. They get a call from the folks at the Division of Unemployment. Rob's filed for unemployment benefits. They said, absolutely not. Rob didn't put the truck in park. It ran down the hill, ran into our building, knocked out the side of the wall. There's absolutely no way that Rob should qualify for unemployment benefits. The gal on the other end of the phone that was calling from the division said, well, do you have a policy manual, an employee manual? Well, of course we have an employee manual. Does this employee manual in there say that when you get out of the pickup or the delivery truck that you're supposed to put it in park? Said, no, that's just common sense, right? And they said, no, if your policy manual doesn't say put the truck in park, we're granting Rob unemployment benefits. And sure enough, they did.
Unemployment benefits because their policy manual didn't specifically say to put...
No, it's beyond that. It's the lack of reason, common sense, and any form of reality that is currently happening over at the division. You know, I've got another constituent who called. They employ a couple hundred folks, and the gal who was doing their bookkeeping over a series of years essentially embezzled from them, stole from them. And, I mean, it was a fairly sizable amount of money, about $25,000 or $30,000 over about a 12-month period. So they fire the gal.
Stole $30,000.
So they decide they're going to terminate the gal. Now, they're in what I would call a fairly small community, a couple thousand people. And so they know her family, you know, they've known the family forever, blah, blah, blah. So they make a decision that they're not going to sue her. They're just going to terminate her, and everybody's going to part ways and go about their own business, which I thought was very generous. In the process, about a week goes by, they get a call. And in this particular case, Sally, pick a name, Sally decided that she was going to file for unemployment benefits. So Sally files, they call to tell this employer Sally's filed for unemployment benefits, or they get the letter, right? And they call and they're like, absolutely not. Sally stole from us, she embezzled, we terminated her, we didn't sue her, we're just going to go our separate ways, but there's absolutely no way that this lady has earned unemployment benefits.
You would think stealing is misconduct,
right? You would think so. And the answer they got was, we intend to grant her unemployment benefits.
That's unbelievable.
I've had that situation for stealing. I've had it for knocking over a building with a truck because they didn't put it in park. I've had constituents who have had from drug, the individuals tested positive for drug usage while on the job and were terminated, not the first time, but actually gave them another chance and then terminated them the second time it happened. And in every case, they were granted unemployment benefits. We have a system today that's broke. And every Missouri employer, if you sit down with the HR people at any company in this state, what they will tell you is it has become so bad in Missouri, they don't even fight the claims anymore. It's not worth their time. It's not worth their effort. And, you know, quite candidly, we are not doing a true service to the people that we should be serving. So what you're trying to do here is very legitimate. We have a significant problem. Now, I am sure there are going to be those in this chamber who don't want reform. But I can tell you, I hope the senator from the 32nd drops the hammer on this, because if we do not fix this, every state, every employer in this state is going to continue to be unfairly punished when they are doing nothing wrong other than following the letter of the law, and they're doing nothing wrong other than saying there are times when employees and employers, it just doesn't work out. And as an employer, guess what? I still believe you have the right to run your business. If that means you need to make personnel changes, then you should be able to do it without having this lingering liability that hangs out there, otherwise known as the unemployment benefit.
Senator, I appreciate your time and your stories, and thank you for your support.
Thank you, Senator.
Mr. President,
One second. Sergeant at Arms, would you please remove the improper beverage container from the press table? Thank you. Senator from the 8th.
Inquire Senator from Buchanan.
Senator from Buchanan, yield.
Senator, we were talking, and you had a scenario where I believe it was yourself or someone you know has paid unemployment for compensation for someone that was doing something wrong. Could you explain?
Yeah, it's really an amazing story, but before I begin, I just have to tell you that the senator from Andrews' relation to that story is completely non-credible, considering that his story was about a person named Rob who messes up all the time. I just can't hardly believe that, but other than that, I want to thank you for bringing this bill. I have been so frustrated with my own experience with unemployment compensation over the years. I was in private practice with another fellow, Dr. Conant, my partner, and we had a lease. And when we entered into this lease, our landlord, who is an orthopedic surgeon in St. Joe, we just entered into a gentleman's agreement, a handshake. And our handshake was, as long as we kept the place up and took good care of it, why, we were allowed to keep it indefinitely. Well, along the way, our landlord entered into an agreement with a realty company, and the realty company wanted to, you know, try to upgrade the leases. And at least we had heard about that. My partner and I also had a couple of nurse practitioners working for us, and they were working for an hourly wage. And one day we received a notice, oh, around 8 or 9 years ago, and the notice said that we either had to sign a 10-year lease or get out, and that they had another tenant that was willing to take over our lease and pay significantly more. Our alternative was to have a huge increase in the rent, but we had to sign a 10-year lease. Well, my partner at that time was, you know, like almost 60. He didn't want to work for 10 more years necessarily. So, you know, we started asking questions. Well, who is this tenant? Well, they wouldn't tell us, but we heard through the grapevine that it was our nurse practitioners. Oh. And that they wanted to actually go into practice, own their practice, and have a collaborating physician. Well, make a long story short, we fired them when we had, you know, some proof that they were the ones that were trying to take over our lease. Mm-hmm. We moved out, and ultimately our nurse practitioners filed for unemployment because their deal fell through. So we appealed it. And the way this went was we had testimony from our landlord's business manager that said that indeed it was our nurse practitioners trying to get the lease away from us. And then we asked the nurse practitioner on the stand to tell us, you know, had I asked her if she was the one, and she said, yes, you did ask me if we were trying to get the lease, and she did lie to me. She admitted lying to me under oath that she had told me that she wasn't. And the judge went ahead and gave them their full unemployment benefits.
After lying to you?
After admitting under oath that she had lied to us and actually getting our lease away from us, you know, forcing us to go out of business at that location. And still, in spite of all of that, got unemployment benefits. That is so outrageous. We couldn't believe it. We were told that we could go to court, but it would cost us too much. I applaud you.
Ask members, please be respectful of the debate that's occurring on the floor and keep your conversations down. Thank you. Proceed.
Senator, I applaud you for bringing this bill forth. What happened to me should never, ever happen to anybody. And I just hope that this bill passes. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Senator.
Senator from Johnson, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President. With unanimous consent, I'd like to introduce some very special guests.
Hearing no objection, Senator, proceed.
I have four folks who are from the dental profession. Unfortunately, I forgot to floss this morning, but I still would like to introduce them. They are two students at the State Fair Community College Oral Hygienist Program, and they are Nicole Farrell from Whiteman Air Force Base and Emily Lippman from Big Town of Malta Bend, and then Linda Hoffman, who is with them, and Bonnie Branson from UMKC.
All right. Would the guests of the Senator from Johnson please rise? We welcome you to the Missouri Senate this morning. Senator from the 9th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
I would also like to seek unanimous consent to introduce a very special guest today.
Hearing no objection, Senator, proceed.
Thank you. I would like, to my right and to your left, I would like to introduce to the body Ms. Linda Spence, who happens to be here from UMKC's Graduate School of Social Work, and she's here for Advocacy Day. She's from my district. She's been a long time, a very, very good resident, clearly of the 9th District for a long time. So I would like the body to make her feel welcome.
Let's welcome the guest of the Senator from the 9th to the Missouri Capitol this morning. Senator from the 8th.
I have an amendment. It has not been distributed. I ask. It's short. It may be read.
Please send it forward.
I move for its adoption.
Secretary, please read the amendment.
Senate Amendment Number 1, offered by Senator Krause, amends Senate Bill Number 28, page 4, section 288.030, line 123, by inserting, immediately after the word, quote, lawful, unquote, the following, quote, or not reasonably related to the job environment and performance, end quote.
Mr. President, this amendment...
Senator from the 8th, would you care to explain your amendment?
Mr. President, this amendment, Department of Labor, we have a large fiscal note on this bill. Department of Labor said that would be because without this language, we'd be out of compliance with the federal government. They recommended this amendment, and I believe that it will put us in compliance. They believe it will put us in compliance. I move for its adoption.
Senator from the 8th has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment 1. Senator from the 10th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Mr. President, may I have that amendment distributed?
Please have the amendment distributed.
And Mr. President, may I inquire of the Senator from the 8th?
Does the Senator from the 8th yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thanks, Senator. This amendment was put on my radar, but I haven't had a chance to take a look at it yet, and I want to make sure that the folks who have the concerns think their concerns have been met. So it's my understanding that there is a fiscal note attached to the current version of the bill that says that it could result in the loss of $59 million in federal funds without this amendment. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And so it is their understanding that if this amendment is
added to the bill,
that their objection will be removed.
Right. It would bring us into compliance, and that fiscal note should be dramatically reduced.
And the language that's in this amendment, which is or not reasonably related to the job environment and performance, is that language that the Department of Labor provided to you?
Yes.
Okay. And have they had a chance to take a look at this amendment to make sure that it is what they were looking for?
My understanding is they're the ones that brought that language to us.
They
have
did.
They actually looked at that as a physical amendment? I would say probably not, but we can make sure that happens.
Okay. My concern is that... I don't want to get out of compliance. I understand what you're trying to do. I know that there were some folks who testified against this. I've actually been in a similar situation as some of the folks who were testifying or were inquiring of earlier, and I'm sympathetic to what you're trying to do, but I want to make sure we don't run afoul of any federal laws as it relates to federal unemployment. So I just wanted to make sure that this language was exactly what they were looking for. Where in the bill is this attached right now? Or where would you propose that it be attached?
Page 4, line 123 is what the top of the amendment says.
Page 4, line 123, and it says, after the word lawful, or not reasonably related to the job environment and performance. Okay. All right, Senator. Well, I appreciate you offering this amendment. Hopefully it won't make us run afoul of any federal laws. I know how this chamber hates to get, in conflict with the federal government. So I appreciate your work on this, and thank you for the inquiry.
Thank you, Senator.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on Senate Amendment 1? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized to close on the amendment.
I close.
Senator from the 8th has renewed his motion for the adoption of Senate Amendment 1. As many are of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted Senate Amendment 1. We are back on the bill.
Mr. President.
Senator from the 11th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to inquire the senator from the 8th.
Does the senator from the 8th yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
We're changing the definition here that I think with the illustration of some of the stories that the senator from Nottoway shared, I'm not quite sure how this solves the problem. You're changing the definition of misconduct, and you're putting in really the word knowing disregard.
But Senator, let me explain to you. Florida did this, and it has worked. It has reduced the number of claims. Here's what's happened right now. The court system has basically, Department of Labor is following decisions based on what the court has interpreted from our laws, consequently changing our law by common law, by the court's decision. So the referees are saying, hey, we're kind of arms are tied here because the court has already ruled in some of these scenarios, and if we don't grant unemployment benefits, these people sue in the court, it'll be our decision will be overturned.
Okay.
So by changing the definition, now the court has to go back to this new definition, and this has been in place in Florida for over a year, and it has reduced the number of claims, people actually getting benefits. But,
okay, ahead. Well, that in itself isn't necessarily good or bad, but you have the definition of misconduct as an act of wanton or willful disregard of employer's interest, a deliberate violation of an employer's rule, a disregard of standards of behavior, which the employer has a right to expect. Wouldn't putting your parking brake on a truck already fall in that definition?
Unfortunately, I would agree with you. It should, but the court has ruled on numerous occasions that to overturn this. And the referees are going off of court decision. That's why we have to change the definition. By changing the definition, now we go back to the court. Hopefully the court, we put in some little bit more language here. Hopefully by doing so, it will clarify for the judges and we won't get some decisions that we're currently getting.
I think what this definition would do, Senator, would allow employers to eat more easily fire people. And if the process isn't working right now, where someone who clearly doesn't put their parking brake on, which is a clear deliberation of violation of employer's rules, if they're going to get benefits anyway, I mean, if it's down the process, what would make just that the fact that they're fired easier not get it down the line anyway? Does that, I don't know if I'm making sense or not, but
here's, to me,
the problem is that we don't have the process following this definition that is currently in statute. And I guess my fear is that we're going to change the definition. It's going to allow more people to get fired, but they're still not going to follow it. Does that make sense?
I hear where you're coming from, Senator. I don't necessarily agree. I think right now what we have in by decisions of the courts, by them liberally construing what we have written here in statute, they have pretty much given our referees no other decision but to give them benefits.
Yeah,
because they're looking at those decisions. Those referees are doing their job. They're looking at those decisions from the court and said, hey, we our hands are tied. You know, you fell asleep at work. Yeah, we consider that misconduct, but the judge has already ruled on this, and if we don't give them the benefits, they're going to go to court, and our decision is going to be overturned. That's a waste of everybody's time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm changing this definition. That's why Florida changed the definition. By the way, Florida's definition was much like ours, and this is now would put us more in conjunction.
Well, yeah,
with
and you mentioned Florida again. Just the fact that there's less.
I'm just pointing out
less people getting benefits now in Florida doesn't mean. I mean, so what? I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're following the letter of the law either. Could be other factors. So that's the thing I worry about on this bill, is that we will still be in the exact same situation, but it will hurt workers as we go along and we make it easier for them to be dismissed. And then down the line, we're going to say,
The guy didn't even have his parking brake on. He knowingly violated the standards, which is in your definition and still got it. So thank you for the inquiry, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from Jefferson, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Could I inquire the senator from the 10th?
The senator from the 10th yield?
I do.
She does. Proceed.
Sorry, I could have just turned around and asked you this question, but...
That's all right. I'm scared I'm going to embarrass myself because this isn't an area
expert in. I'm embarrassed that I had not looked at this bill until we got in this morning, and the new language on page 4 is somewhat concerning on the definition of misconduct.
Okay.
I understand the part that's bracketed out, but the concerning part is regardless of whether the misconduct occurs at the workplace or during working hours. So in your legal opinion, the act that the employer may find distasteful to their own subjective opinion.
So misconduct, regardless of whether the misconduct occurs at the workplace or during working hours.
So if I'm on my own time and I do something that my employer finds subjectively to be offensive to themselves, that would give grounds to fire me and me then not to collect unemployment benefits.
I think that...
Or am I reading that wrong?
Well, you know, the grounds to fire you part is probably not part of this, because, you know, they can fire you if they want to fire you.
Yeah, but we're at will state.
But I think you are correct, and I'm just reading this now as well, that they would be able to prevent your access to, or you would be prevented from getting unemployment compensation if you were fired because of a conduct that you participated
that
in.
That your employer found to be.
That found for whatever reason. Yeah.
I don't have a problem with an employee being fired for conduct at work or conduct related to their job, but this definition is somewhat concerning.
Yeah, I have some real concerns with that as well, and maybe that's why, you know, this didn't go through any of the committees that I sit on, so this is a bill that I'm seeing for the first time. I noticed that several folks testified against the bill, particularly a lot of labor folks. We've got the AFL-CIO. It looks like the painters and the steel workers and the plumbers.
But the interesting part of that, because they have a collective bargaining agreement, this probably wouldn't apply to them anyway, but they still testified in opposition.
Because they stand up for the workers in the state of Missouri. So, I have a real concern with that piece. I'm not sure what the reason was for including conduct that takes place outside of
the work. Maybe I'll inquire of the senator from the 8th and see if this was brought up.
I might look into drafting an amendment that would tighten that up so it's really covers what we're trying to cover.
If it's a violation that is related to their work, I can understand a termination of that.
I get it. I've been employed in a small business setting before where someone, their behavior is so egregious that you have to end up terminating their employment. And then the fact that you have to go ahead then and pay out for their unemployment when the reality is that they should probably be in jail.
Right.
and firing them was the nice thing to do. It is insulting to have to pay that. But the reality is that if someone does something off the clock, completely unrelated to their employment, that should not bar them from accessing unemployment insurance. I'm going to go talk about getting an amendment on that.
Thank you, sir. Mr. President, can I inquire of the senator from the 8th?
The senator from the 8th yield? He does proceed.
Two things.
Unfortunately, I'm not on that committee, so I just started reading this morning, and maybe I'm way off base. I don't know if this was addressed in committee or not, but to me it seems that the language, regardless of whether the misconduct occurs at the workplace or during working hours, would lead me to believe, common sense wise, that if I'm an employee and my employer just finds that some act that I do unrelated to my job or to his place of business,
you know where I'm going. And I go to my amendment. The very first, I mean, that's why we offered the amendment. That's why the department, it's reasonably related that the amendment, which isn't even part of the bill, you have to get the amendment, reasonably related
amendment one
to job
core,
environment.
Took care of that concern.
Correct.
And that was the concern of the Division?
Of Labor. Department of Labor.
The senator from the 7th wanted me to ask you a question, but he's a senator, so I'm going to let him ask you a question.
That's great.
Thank you for clearing that up, Senator. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from Barry, for all purpose DC recognition.
Thank you, Mr. President. To inquire of the senator from the 8th.
I yield.
Senator from the 8th, yield.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
You probably know that I was an employer for almost 30 years.
Thank you for employing Missourians here in Missouri.
We had a lot of employees, and it was always a pleasure to work with them. Most all of them. Every now and then, we would have some problems, of course. That's human nature. But on part of your bill on, page 4, line 105 and 106, especially the part that says, a knowing violation of the standards which the employer expects of his or her employee. So that could be dress codes, that could be language, confrontations, things like that, that would constitute a misconduct.
Yes.
And I've gone through this personally myself, and you want all your employees to get along, but sometimes that just doesn't work out, and you have to make changes. But I would have to pay for unemployment benefits.
Uh-huh.
And when I did that, of course, my rates would go up.
Exactly.
And so this was a hardship on my business and my profitability, and for me to be able to hire the best employees that I could. And I always thought I had a right to hire the best employees for the sake of my business and my family. And so I think your bill right here is going to help small business owners especially to be able to compete in the workplace and to be able to be viable in our society. And we really need this right now.
I would agree. We've got a situation in the state of Missouri that we don't need another thing to put Missouri businesses at a disadvantage to other states. And if we can reduce their unemployment claims, we'll reduce the amount of money they have to pay in unemployment insurance. And
yes.
I think it's a win for the state, win for Missouri businesses.
It is. And, our state competes with other states around, and we want to have at least an equal playing field.
Absolutely.
To be able to compete for businesses coming into our state and to make the state of Missouri a place in which businesses want to come in and do business because we are business friendly. But I appreciate your bill, and I just wanted to make those comments since I was a former employee and still am an employee.
Thank you, Senator. I appreciate that.
Senator from Phelps was first seeking recognition. Senator from Phelps, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Mr. President, I seek unanimous consent to introduce very special guests.
Hearing no objection, Senator, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, in the upper gallery behind me are a group of CTE students from Waynesville Career Center. They're here today with one of their instructors, Sherry Struckoff, and I would ask that that we make them feel welcome today at the Capitol.
Would all the guests of the Senator from Phelps please rise? We welcome you to the Missouri Senate this morning. Senator from the 10th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Amendment.
Please send the amendment forward.
Thank you, Mr. President. The amendment has been distributed. I would request a waiver of its reading.
Hearing. Please read the Secretary, please read the amendment. Oh, I'm sorry. Senator, you said it's been distributed?
It has been distributed.
Okay,
I would request a waiver if it's reading.
Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move for adoption of this amendment to explain, and then I'm going to have an inquiry here in a moment. I'm going to request an inquiry here in a moment to explain. I am taking out lines 102 and 103 on page 4 of this bill. Mr. President, may I inquire of the senator from the 8th?
The senator from the 10th has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment 2. Senator from the 8th, would you yield to the senator from the 10th for an inquiry?
I do.
He does proceed.
Good morning, Senator. We have a little bit of a drafting issue that we're concerned about. And here's essentially what we're trying to do. I have spoken to one of your staff members who kind of explained to me why you've got those two sentences in there, and I'm sympathetic to that, and I want to try to keep that language in there. I do not believe that the amendment that was added down at line 123 is sufficient, because the amendment that we added at line 123 only pertains to the rule that was broken. The previous sections, D, C, B, and A, are not covered by that amendment. My concern is that you could still have misconduct that occurs under A, B, C, or D that takes place off-site that is not reasonably related to the employment. And I have some concerns that we're going to start cutting off the option of unemployment reimbursement for an activity that an employer sees as misconduct that does not take place or is not reasonably associated with their job. So I have gone to the extreme measure of removing those two sentences. I don't think that's where you want to be.
No, it's not.
Because I know that there have been some rulings that say that if someone ingests a drug when they are before they go to work, that that's the actual misconduct, and then they show up in the workplace and that drug continues to affect them, that the misconduct took place before work.
Pardon me, Senator. There's no flash photography allowed in the Senate chamber while we are in session.
Senator, I see where you're coming from. I am more than willing to not close on this bill till we address your concern. If you would be so kind, maybe to withdraw this amendment, see if there's anything else out there. If there's not, I'm willing to maybe set this bill aside and get your issue resolved, but I'd like to see if there's anything else out there we need to address before we do that.
Senator, and I absolutely want to work with you, and I appreciate your willingness to work. It is my preference to leave this amendment pending while we work on that. I also, though, understand you're wanting to find out if there's anything else out there. I know that it's kind of difficult to say, hey, does anyone else have an amendment? Raise your hand. That's kind of not appropriate, but does anyone else have an amendment? You'd like to raise your hand. So you do have another issue, Senator, from?
Same line.
Oh, same issues. So, oh, my gosh, I'm inquiring of
Senator,
two people at once. Thank
inquiry
you, Mr. President.
Senator from the 8th, would you, have you ended that inquiry?
I have. Mr. President.
Senator from the 10th.
May I inquire of the Senator from Jefferson County?
This is Senator from the 10th. Excuse me, Senator from Jefferson, yield.
I do.
He does proceed.
Now we're legal. The amendment that I thought I'd draft, for the benefit of the senator from the 8th, if you want to listen to this, the amendment number 1, or not reasonably related to the job environment and performance, if we add an amendment to subsection A and B after the word act, and it would be reasonably related to the job environment and performance. If you do that for A and B, C and D, it's pretty specific as to what the termination
is. So tell me, it would be, you would say conduct or failure to act, and then it would say
reasonably related to the
job
environment
and we would add that under A and B?
Correct. And in that would be the intent, is my understanding of the senator from the 8th, that the violation occurred, which was directly related to their job or their job performance, and they couldn't subjectively terminate somebody because they didn't like that they were Irish or Catholic or
having
like
that.
Me, both.
And are you having that amendment drafted right now?
I think Chris is having that amendment drafted.
I'm going to, in this inquiry, I'm going to withdraw my amendment, and I'm going to let you inquire of the senator from the 8th
okay,
to talk to him
you,
about
thank
that.
Thank you.
Mr. President.
Senator from the 10th.
I withdraw my amendment.
Secretary, please send the amendment back.
President.
Senator from Jefferson, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you. Can I inquire of the senator from the 8th?
Senator from the 8th yield? He does proceed.
Thank you, Senator. Were you following that?
I'm okay with it. I would like to obviously see the amendment and make sure we have a few lawyers that are in this arena look at it to make sure we're covering what you're saying and not harming the underlying bill. But I think we've got...
Yeah, it's the same intent. It's that an employee violated some job rule or...
Right.
Or
comes to... Yeah, does
not subjectively interpreted by an employer that they didn't like how I dressed away from my job as a reason for termination. Or, you know, pick an example.
You know, and I think that I'm going to be willing to accept that amendment. I would ask the same thing I asked of the senator from the 10th. Maybe we could see if anybody else has issues that we can work through while we're working on this issue. If we don't, and that's the only issue we have resolved left, I can set the bill on the informal calendar for a few minutes for us to fix this solution, get the amendment drafted, and come back and hopefully put this thing to bed.
And I apologize I didn't come to you in advance. That's typically not my nature. But I'll sit down. If there's no other questions, I'll stand right back up. And
if there's no other questions, I'll lay the bill over, if that's okay.
Okay. We may have that drafted pretty quick. So I'll thank you.
Okay, let's see if there's anybody else has anything.
Thank you, Mr. President.
So we are on the bill. Does any other senator desire to be heard on Senate Bill 28? Senator from the 4th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Do you want to lay it over?
I'll lay it over.
Okay.
Senator?
Mr. President, I request the body stand at ease.
Senator from the 8th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
I request the body stand at ease.
Hearing no objection, Senator, the Senate will stand at ease. Senator from the 8th.
Please lay the Senate Bill 28 on the informal calendar.
Shall be placed on the informal calendar. Senator. I got it. Senate Bill 121 with Senate Committee Substitute, Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. Will you please place that bill on the informal calendar?
Be placed on the informal calendar. Senate Bill 9, Senator from Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill number 9 with the Senate Committee Substitute be taken up for perfection.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Johnson.
Johnson.
As many are of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body. Senator from Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is a bill that would give our local counties back home the ability to establish an extension council, rather extension districts. Currently, all of our counties have councils. This would give the ability for a county or a group of counties to join together to actually develop a district. And if they wanted to do that, they would have the ability to have a taxing authority to do this. Obviously, it would not be required. Obviously, it would be up to a vote of the people. This is something that's been done in 26 other states, and with somewhat declining revenue, declining support, this would give our local extension back home the ability to raise funds or to create resources. So I'd be glad to take any questions, or if not, I renew my motion.
Senator from Johnson has moved that Senate Bill 9 be declared perfected. And there is a Senate Committee Substitute. Oh, yes, sir. Okay. Senator from Johnson has moved for the adoption of Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 9. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from Jefferson, for what purpose do you seek?
A brief inquiry of the Senator from Johnson.
Does the Senator from Johnson yield?
I do yield.
He does proceed.
This is just enabling legislation to allow voters in the district to impose on themselves a tax. This is not us raising taxes.
That is correct. Right.
Much like the senator from Cole and my transportation initiative that's going to be a long-term solution to transportation has been framed as a tax increase by some, mostly on the other side of the building. All that does is enable the voters of the state to speak on that.
You're exactly right.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion on the Senate Committee Substitute. Senator from Andrew, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
To inquire the senator from Johnson.
Does the senator from Johnson
yield? The rule breaker.
Senator from Johnson yield?
I do yield.
He does proceed.
Thanks, Senator. I had a couple inquiries, just constituent inquiries about sure. This. And the biggest driver being, as you know, I mean, it's no secret here, as K-12 continues to find financial crunch, as our community colleges continue to feel the financial crunch. There's a concern that by allowing another entity to come and take more, that we're taking away from the opportunity of our K-12 schools, of our community colleges, of our local cities, counties. Has anyone raised this concern? And then number two, if they've raised it, what has been your articulation as to why they shouldn't be concerned about that?
Through the committee process, it has not been raised. I'm very sensitive to that. And I think all of us in this body and anyone listening realizes there is a definite limit on how much you can tax people.
Sure.
And yet, at the same time, what are some basic services that people want and demand in their communities? I guess the answer to you would be it's a local decision. It would be something that obviously would go to the voters of an area, a county, or a multi-county area, and it would be something that they would decide. So it would not be imposed at all. So
the reason I raise it, the folks who contacted me had previously been on their local school board. They are now very involved with their local community college. Their only concern is, you know, and again, in this particular case, both the school, the K-12 school and the community college, they're in fairly small geographic areas. I mean, their ability to generate much money is fairly difficult.
Mm-hmm.
and they're just worried about one more issue. And so I'm sure the president, who's sitting in the chair right now, is going to recognize the third senator that's standing, as I would imagine there are guests, and we could continue our inquiry once that happens.
I would assume the presiding officer would do that soon.
Mr. President.
Three senators on the floor. Senator from the 15th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President. I would seek unanimous consent to introduce some very special guests.
Hearing no objection, Senator, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. In the upper gallery, gazing upon my bald spot that not many people in this world get to see because I'm so tall, and as I would mention that I am the tallest senator to ever serve in the Missouri Senate. That is a fact. But here with us today from the city of Fenton, the Chamber of Commerce, the city of Parks in my great district, is Jim Berterich, hopefully I pronounced that right, Larry Bilgeri, David Burles, Jeannie Braun, Chris Kloss, Lee Kloss, Jim Donzi, Jenny Godey, Lon Godey, Richard Helly, Thad James, Vance Shear, Debbie Shermer, Tom Schopp, Curtis Turner, and Jeannie Braun's listed on here twice, but I already recognized her. But she's worth recognizing twice because she runs that great chamber. I would like my colleagues here in the Senate to recognize this wonderful chamber and the people who made the trip up to Jefferson City and make them feel welcome.
Would all the guests of the Senate from the 15th please rise? I'm going to make you get out of your chair. Welcome you to the Missouri Senate this morning. Senator from Johnson.
This might be a little unorthodox, but with unanimous consent, I'd also like to introduce some guests.
Hearing no objection, Senator, proceed.
Thank you very much. Senator from the 15th, as he was talking about all of his traits, he forgot to mention that he's the most humble, too. So, I've got some great guests from Saline County who are here for Career and Tech Day. And if they would stand, Michelle Hansen, Aubrey Amizer, Ellen Woolsey, Derek Lark, Randy Plattner, and Sarah Dobson. They're either with Saline County or with Lafayette County, and we're so glad to have them here today.
Good morning, and welcome to the Missouri Capitol this morning. Great having you here. Senator from Andrew, I believe you had the floor.
I'd like to continue my inquiry with the Senator from Johnson.
Okay, proceed.
But the Senator from the 15th forgot to mention is, although many who are not as vertically blessed as him may not have been able to see that spot on top of his head when he first got here, over his time in this building, that spot has grown. So by
and
four
I'm sure
more years.
His constituents are glad to hear that.
Yeah, right.
And he's
that,
gone.
Well, that means he works hard and he, you know, is very involved in his in the process here.
Yeah, as my kids would say, whatever.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, Senator, so here's the situation I have. I am not sure as to the degree or intensity of my community college about this. I would like to have a little bit of time. I actually called the president to visit with him. He's traveling right now, and
that
so I'm
Dr.
waiting.
Allnut?
What's that?
Dr. Allnut?
Yeah, okay. I have a call in. They're traveling. I would like to have an opportunity to visit with him before we perfect this. I don't know if there's other discussion or not, and I don't know how quick the necessity is.
Let me just offer this. Obviously, extension is offered in every county in the state.
Yep.
And there's a great working relationship with community development programs, economic development. And there is a move for extension to work very closely with our 4 years as well as our community colleges. And so there is, in my opinion, there's been a good working relationship on
there's
that. I'm not going to put words in sure. your community college president's mouth, but I do think that is something that might influence the discussion.
I'll just use my personal, we have the extension office we have in Andrew County. They're great. I've actually been pretty involved with them as we do some of the stuff on the farm. They've been very helpful. I mean, they do a great job. I'm a big fan, but I need to make sure, I need to balance here because we have a community college that has worked very hard, and although because of the area they represent and the counties in their catchment area, it's been challenging for them to raise resources for capital to do the types of things that that in the past anyway the state has not funded for community colleges. And I just want to have a chance to visit with them. That doesn't mean, you know, I have no intent of standing here and killing it. I might be voting against it, but I'd like to have the opportunity to kind of work through a little bit of this, if that's acceptable.
That's fine, yeah, if you need to visit with that. Throughout the process, we have not had any opposition from the Community College Association. Okay. There was actually no one who had official opposition to it. Some people just had some questions, but yeah.
So when you opposition. Went through the committee process, in all fairness, when you went through the committee process, there was no one that called and or came and testified in opposition or...
There was not.
Or articulated this concern.
No, they did not.
Okay. That's what I needed to know. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Senator from St. Francis, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Fire the senator from the 12th.
The senator from Andrew yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, during the committee process, I did talk to my community college on those various items that you brought up, and they were very comfortable with what the Extension Center was doing that would not be in conflict. The main one was raising funds or applying for a bond issue or a levy or what have you. Would that conflict with them if they ever needed to raise funds? And after discussion, that was not going to be an issue. So
okay.
I know you want to talk with your folks back home, but I did raise that issue with my community college and have been on that board for the last 5 years. That was an utmost concern of mine as well.
So they were, after your discussion and working through it with them, they're comfortable that this is not going to be an impediment to what they want to do or need to do going forward?
Yes, sir. That's the way.
Perfect. That is very helpful. Thank you, Senator.
Further discussion on the Senate committee substitute. Is he laying it over? Senator from Senator from Andrew, would you like to inquire of the senator from Johnson?
One more time, Mr. President.
Senator from Johnson, yield.
I do.
He does proceed.
If it's acceptable to you and the floor leader, I'd prefer we lay over. Give me a couple hours here to hopefully they will return my call. And then this afternoon we'll
be... Do people return your calls, Senator?
Well, I mean, this is one of my 350 friends.
Oh, that's right. He is from the Great Northwest. Okay.
If that's acceptable, Senator,
If that would make you feel comfortable about this, then we will do that.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you.
Senator from Johnson.
I ask that this bill be laid over on the informal calendar.
It shall be placed on the informal calendar. Senator from Newton, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Mr. President, would you inquire the Secretary if we have a message from the Governor, and if so, waive the reading and have it printed in the journal?
Senator, we do have a message from the Governor, and it shall be printed in the journal. And please refer that to the Gubernatorial Appointments Committee.
Mr. President?
Senator from Newton.
Would you recognize the senator from the 8th on Senate Bill 28?
Senator, would you like us to move to the informal calendar? Senate bills for perfection.
Senate bills for perfection. Recognize the senator from the 8th on Senate Bill 28.
Senate bills for perfection. Informal calendar. Senate Bill 28. Senator from the 8th.
Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill 28 be pulled from the informal calendar and be perfected and printed. Perfected.
But before the body?
Before the body.
Senator, you've heard the motion from the senator from the 8th. As many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body. Senator from the 8th.
Mr. President, I have a Senate substitute. I'd like to send forward.
Please send it forward. Has the substitute been distributed?
It has not.
Senator, is your intention to close before the substitute is distributed?
I don't believe we can, so no.
Okay. So we will not close until the Senate substitute has been distributed. Senator, would you care to explain your Senate substitute.
Mr. President, I move for the adoption of Senate Substitute Number 1. Senate Substitute Number 1 takes care of the issue from the senator from the 22nd's concern and moves that language that was in my amendment before up to the top of the section of the misconduct definition and should take care of any concerns that are out there from the senator from the 22nd. Be glad to answer questions on the Senate Substitute. And I have a copy if somebody would like to see it before it gets distributed.
Senator from the 8th has moved for the adoption of Senate Substitute for Senate Bill 28. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from Jefferson, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
To inquire the senator from the 8th.
Does the senator from the 8th yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you. I'm a little out of breath. It was easier when I was on the 4th floor and went downstairs instead of coming upstairs. But I probably wouldn't even inquire of you, except for the fact that we don't have the substitute.
I should have been, this is new to me, I should have been a little bit ahead of the game and had it printed and distributed before we went back to it. It was my fault. I thought about it as I stood at the desk getting ready to ask for it to go back to the informal calendar being brought back to the front of the body.
I don't know for sure, but I don't think there's any other issues with your legislation. So if we can just delay for just a little bit, and I told you over to the side, this wasn't anything orchestrated or anything. I started reading the bill this morning, and that kind of popped out at me, and I listened to your intent and your description, and I really appreciate your willingness to work with me on. Thanks, Gil. I'm going to talk for a few minutes.
Okay.
So
did you?
I'll tell you a story.
Tell me a story.
My grandfather served in the legislature in 1941. I don't think that's ever happened in the history of Missouri where three generations served in the House. And he was part of the greatest generation, which were a bunch of people that were very proud, not braggadocious. They worked hard, and they didn't take anything for granted. And being that mindset, there was a family member that passed away when my dad was about 33. And we're at a funeral, and it was an Irish funeral, so it was just one less drunk. It was the one in the casket. So they started talking, and the state representative in our area was retiring. And over a couple Bud Lights, they convinced my dad to run for state representative. This is 1982. And my dad's 33 at the time. My grandpa has 10 kids. And my grandpa comes over and said, "What are y'all talking about?" And they said, "Well, we're getting Bill to run for state representative."
I do.
And my grandpa says, "I used to be one of those." Nobody up until that time knew that their father was a state representative. And it's just the nature of the gentleman that served in that time. And he left in 1941 after Pearl Harbor was invaded and enlisted in the United States Navy and never went back.
That's a good story. I will tell you that I had a great uncle that was a state representative, and he was a very tall gentleman, not maybe as tall as the senator from the 15th.
Yeah, I have archives looking into whether he's really the tallest one or not, because I think he just says that and nobody can prove him wrong.
Well, anyways, my great uncle Pete Storr was a state representative, was never in this body, but was in the other, and he was probably as tall as the senator from the 15th. Big man, former highway patrolman, just an honorable, and then he was a judge later on in life as well.
Yeah.
So he was a great honorable man. You know what, we have, since we're killing a little bit of time here, we have to commend the Secretary of the Senate. She did a fabulous job of getting this substitute distributed throughout the body, and I believe we're almost done.
Yeah, I think it goes without saying, this Senate wouldn't function without the help and support of the Secretary of the Senate.
Yep, I do too.
Even though she appears to not be looking at us or listening to us, she actually does hear what we're saying.
Yeah. Well, I think it's distributed, Senator, but you have the floor.
So everybody has a copy of the
floor. I believe it has been distributed.
Been a pleasure.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
We are on Senate substitute for Senate Bill 28. Does any senator desire to be heard on the Senate substitute? Senator from Buchanan, for purposes of seek recognition.
To inquire of the senator from the 8th.
Does the senator from the 8th yield? He does proceed.
I'm trying to figure exactly what was done on the Senate sub. And
page 5, line 27, they added basically my amendment from earlier. Instead of putting it down in subsection...
I see it.
Subsection E.
I see it now.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the Senate substitute? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Mr. President, I renew my motion to adopt Senate substitute for Senate Bill number 28.
Senator from the 8th has renewed his motion for the adoption of Senate substitute for Senate Bill 28. As many are of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye. Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted the Senate substitute. Senator from the 8th.
Bill 28 as amended be declared perfected and ordered printed.
Senator from the 8th has moved that Senate substitute for Senate Bill 28 be declared perfected and ordered printed. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
Senator has renewed his motion that Senate substitute for Senate Bill 28 be declared perfected and ordered printed. As many are of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill has been declared perfected and ordered printed. Senator from Newton.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of Senate bills for perfection. I would ask that you call the calendar.
Senate bills for perfection, formal calendar. Senate Bill 17, Senator from Lewis. Senator from Lewis.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill number 17 with committee substitute be taken up for perfection.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Lewis. As many are of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body. Senator from Lewis.
Thank you, Mr. President. This Senate Bill 17 has been one that has been brought to my attention over about 4 years of career tech educators basically saying they didn't feel they were getting the due that was deserved of the career tech education. And actually, when I looked into it, career tech hasn't advanced as fast as what technology has. Now, the career tech education departments are trying to advance out there with what they're teaching their students, but as far as the guidance and what they're getting from the Department of Education hasn't really kept up. And looking in the statutes, we found that there used to be an advisory committee, but this bill sets up an advisory council that will consist of 11 members. They're to be appointed by the governor with advice and consent of the Senate. Those 11 members, I'd like to read that because I feel that it's very important that we have these members on this board. And it's the director and administrator of a career tech center, an individual from a business community with commerce background. And when I visit with industry, they say we need people with more technical skills. They're also to be a career technical professor or instructor that is employed at a community college or Lynn State Technical College. There's to be a career technical teacher who also serves an advisor to one of the, actually three of those, which serves DECA, FBLA, FFA, FCCLA, HOSA, Skills USA, and TSA. And the reason for those are, with those organizations, that's where these students develop their leadership skills. And we just had the FFA student state leadership team in here earlier this morning, And I know there are a lot of those students from those other organizations in the building today. There's also to be a representative from business organization, an association of businesses, or a business coalition. A representative from Missouri Community Colleges, because they help with the advanced training of like our WIB boards, people that are maybe lost a job and need to be re-educated in another field, or our veterans who come back to be educated maybe with another skill. A representative from SEMO or UCM, and a participant from the Department of Labor recognized apprenticeship programs. And these skills are very important in that aspect also. There's also to be an administrator or superintendent of a school that offers a CTE program. Then there's also to be three ex officio members, director of the Division of Workforce Development, like I said, for continuing education, director of guidance and counseling service at DESE, and a member of the coordinating board for higher education as selected by the coordinating board. A director or the assistant commissioner of the Office of College and Career Readiness of the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education will provide the staff support to the advisory council. The advisory council must meet 4 times annually, and business becoming before the council would include votes, exhibits, outcomes, and material. But really, they are to actually guide the direction for career tech training into the future. And I feel without a board or this council in place and continuing, we may not be able to keep up with the technology. I'm very familiar with agriculture, and I know that technology just in the agriculture field has gone great leaps and bounds in the last 20 years. And I know it has also as I visit the other career tech centers and the other fields that they have and that they teach there. And with that, Mr. President, I'd be glad to answer any questions, but I think we've got somebody that would like to maybe introduce some guests.
I'm sorry, Senator, had you made your motion for the adoption of the Senate committee substitute?
No, I moved it be taken up for perfection. Mr. President, I will make it.
Okay.
I now move that Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill number 17 be adopted.
Senator from Lewis has moved that for the adoption of Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill 17. Senator from the 8th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Unanimous consent to introduce special guests.
Hearing no objection, Senator, proceed.
Mr. President, in the upper gallery, we have former Representative Derek Holland, and he also is a sitting city councilman from the city of Lee Summit. He is actually the individual that came to me with the idea of the change that we just perfected in Senate Bill 28. So if he could stand and we could welcome him to the Missouri Senate.
Let's welcome the guest of the Senator from the 8th to the Missouri Senate this morning. Senator from Christian, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Mr. President?
To inquire of?
Of the maker of the subcommittee here, the substitute.
Does the Senator from Lewis yield?
I do.
He does proceed.
Senator, I didn't really, this came through a committee I serve on or chair, and I just wanted to frankly commend you for your work on it. When we first heard this committee, the committee members know this. I don't know that everybody else in the body does. The original hearing, I wasn't sure how far this was going to go and how we were going to go with it. You've done a tremendous job of working with all the parties to try to make this thing work out.
And I have worked with the governor's office to make sure that it does move forward, and I've got their commitment and actually received an email from the director of DESE yesterday. Saying that, yes, they do support this bill now. With the substitute, I mean, you know, that we have to work together down here. But I still think it will give us the guidance for the future that we need in our career tech program.
I think we got certainly the attention of DESE. We certainly got them on board with this. I have spoken with the director. I've spoken with the chairman of their board. They are all well on board with this. I think they now would plainly state that they believe in these entities that we're talking about, FFA, some of our job training issues. They believe strongly in them. they intend to listen to this committee, that their commission that you formed or that you've reformed. And I think the whole thing worked out very well, and I think everybody's on the same boat. The rural areas are going to be helped by this a lot. They were very, very interested in this, but also the cities where job training goes on. I think everybody gets a boost from this.
That's true. You mentioned rural areas. Yes, definitely. We have great people out there with great skills. We've got these organizations where they develop leadership skills. But then when I visit with large companies like Boeing, they says we need people with skills. And
absolutely,
that's how they get this, is through the Career Tech. You know, I might have misspoke a little bit earlier saying DESE or Career Tech was way behind. But I did say that out here in these centers, they are trying to keep up. But what is behind is the handbook that DESE uses for Career Tech.
And they've agreed to update that.
1992. You know, like I said, a lot of things have changed in the last 20 years.
Well, and I think your bill shed a lot of light on a lot of things that we needed to do. I think DESE has agreed with them. I think everybody's on the same page here, and I just commend you for working with everybody, making this bill happen, and I think it's going to be good for the state, good for the kids, good for education.
You know, as we advance this forward, I think Missouri will benefit greatly because of the skills that our young students and even the adults that go through some of these training. They will benefit greatly. Our employers will benefit greatly by advancing these skills that we need for the future.
Well, thank you for your efforts, and I think we've done in this case what the Senate is supposed to do. We found some good common ground and a good compromise, and I think we've helped a lot of people. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from the 3rd, what reason do you rise?
Fire the Senator from the 18th.
Senator from the 18th, Senator from Lewis, do you yield?
I do.
Senator, I appreciate the opportunity to be on this bill with you and to support and sponsor it. I also appreciate your efforts in putting this forward. It was approximately 40 years ago that I was running these halls with a blue blazer on and was the state vice president of DECA. So I don't mind being your poster child today on the success rate of what this program and vocational and career tech ed has done for us. And I appreciate your efforts. At that time, it was Governor Bond. He was signing a proclamation for vocational education. The impact that it has on our communities is tremendous, and I attest to the success of the program over the 40 years that I've been aware of it, and look forward to improving on it with this bill that you've laid before us.
I want to thank you for your support in this effort, too, and thank you for co-sponsoring the bill with me, Senator. It's great to have support, and I think we've got great support for this because, like I said, I think it's just going to help our state, our employers, and help us to advance the next generation into the jobs we need.
Very good. My mom, when she found out I was going to be up here, she dug out a photo of me with Governor Bond that day, and I failed to bring it today. I wished I had it, but it is a true success, and I appreciate it. Thank you very much,
Senator. Thank you, Senator.
Senator from Buchanan was first on his feet. What reason do you rise?
To inquire of the Senator from Lewis.
Senator from Lewis, do you yield?
I do.
Proceed.
Thank you, Senator.
Senator.
I'm going to vote for your bill, and I'm supportive of the idea here, but here we go again, creating another further different board and commission.
No, I'm not creating a new one. I'm just redesignating an old one, Senator.
Okay, well, that's true, but it represents a failure of our current system because of the fact that DESE doesn't really seem to care about VOTAC. Isn't that correct?
They haven't kept up to date with some things, and I don't, from what I've heard from people out in the field, they didn't feel that Career Tech was getting the just due that it's deserved. But I really hope that this board and being in place can give the department the direction that they need to advance Career Tech.
You know, I've thought in the past about just taking all the boards and commissions and getting rid of all of them to save a whole bunch of money and problems with the state. And
this will be a non-paid board.
I understand. I just thought that somebody needed to say that. Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from Cole, what reason do you rise?
Can I inquire from the Senator from Lewis?
Senator from Lewis, do you yield?
Do.
Proceed.
Yeah, I want to jump on the train congratulating you on this legislation as well, but I thought I'd just ask you a quick question first. Are we going to hear legislation from other senators this year, or is it only going to be yours?
I'm running out, but no, there's a lot of good legislation coming forward.
Well, you're a machine. That's... It used to be the senator from Christian, and I'd sit back and I'd observe, and I'd think, man, oh man, these small government guys are certainly making government bigger. And so then, now we have, from the great Northeast, another legislative machine.
You know, Senator,
we got the corners of the state, kind of.
It helps to have good bills, too.
That's a good
point.
And
I know two of them came through your committee.
Absolutely, and I'm always pleased and honored to hear your bills. Did they go consent?
Pardon?
Did we vote them out consent?
No.
No.
Wish I'd asked for that.
Yeah, no, me too. Hey, Senator, I talked to you about this a little bit, and you know I'm passionate about this subject, and I think the direction you're going is awesome. I have one little incy-beansy. That's what we in central Missouri call it, incy-beansy. The senator from the 10th is going to learn that term soon. Tweak is all I would call it. It's a minor tweak. As you know, many folks in this body, and I know you yourself, Senator, have been out to the college campus in Lynn, Missouri, in Osage County. I know the senator from Phelps is very familiar with it, as many senators in this room are. And I served on that board for 6 years out at Lynn State.
I met the director from Lynn 2 weeks ago, I guess. I had a very good discussion with him.
Dr. Claycomb? Yeah, he's a great guy. He's a big asset. And that campus is absolutely fantastic. It's not only an asset to central Missouri, it's an asset to the entire state.
They do a very good job of training people for all kinds of skills. And they get good jobs when they leave there, too.
And the only thing I would say is they're a little bit unique, and I'm familiar with and went to a community college myself. I didn't last long because I wasn't very good. But they're a little bit unique from the rest of the community college system. So my amendment, and I'm just wanting to tell you, and so the body knows, and I'll be happy to explain it, just simply lets Lynn have a spot on this board because of their unique the unique product that they offer and the unique group of students they represent. There already is a spot where it says a community college member or a Lynn State Technical College member. This would just say a Lynn State Technical College member. And the community college member would still be able to stay on.
Yeah, I did add, you know, when I originally filed the original bill, it just said community college or Lynn State. And then later, it only had seven people on the board, which I like to keep boards small where they can actually work. But I've served on boards with as many as 13 that still function very well. This one would have 11 members and 3 advisory members.
Okay.
But I did add career or community colleges as a standalone also besides that one.
So community college would be out being down below too as well.
Community college would have, they definitely do have a position.
And I agree with that. I support that. So if you don't mind, I'm going to offer this amendment. And then I'll talk about it a little bit.
I just got your amendment.
Good. It's been distributed. I wanted to first, you know, the main thing I wanted to inquire of you about, I mean, and normally after you do the amendment, then you do the inquiry. But I just wanted to recognize your how successful your legislative packages are. And I have some non-controversial legislation that you might be able to help me with.
I think we're going to hear
highways,
about, we're going to hear about that
electric,
next week in committee.
Stuff like that. Little modular things, not much.
Oh, that
you might be the man
that
for the
too.
Job.
Yes, that too.
You can haul it, Mr. President.
Senator from Cole.
I have an amendment.
Send your amendment forward.
I'd be happy to do so. One of the trusty men in blue blazers, Gil.
Has it been distributed?
It has been distributed. I'd ask for a waiver of the reading.
Seeing no objection, a waiver will be granted. Would you like to expend your explain?
Thank
your amendment?
You, Mr. President, I would move for the adoption of this amendment. As I was just talking to my friend from Lewis, it changes just a couple of words in his bill on the committee substitute on page 2 that would give Lynn State Technical College a spot on this very well thought of board that the senator has brought up, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Senator from Cole moves for the adoption of Senate Amendment number 1. Any senator wishing to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from Cole moves for the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1. Those to the opinion that should prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from the 1st, what reason do you rise?
Mr. President, to inquire the Senator from the 18th.
Senator from Lewis, do you yield?
I do.
Proceed.
Good morning, Senator.
Good morning.
I believe my office has been in contact with your office about line 43 and 44 on page 2, the Department of Labor reference.
Yes.
And just wanted to clarify, it's my understanding that technically speaking, it's a U.S. Department of Labor approves rather than recognizes entities of this nature, wanted to just inquire as to whether you might accept a friendly amendment on that particular distinction.
You've got a better definition?
Why don't I just go ahead and move the amendment to the floor and we'll take that up. It's simply striking recognized and inserting approved by the Department of Labor Office of Apprenticeship.
So is it, you have the, I haven't seen an amendment, or is it one that you're just wanting read, or?
Why don't I just move the amendment now and we'll take it up. I'll have it brought forward and read. Mr. President, I have an amendment.
Senator, send your amendment forward. Has it been distributed?
It has not. I would ask that it be read.
Madam Secretary, please read the amendment when it arrives at the dais.
Senate Amendment Number 2, offered by Senator Sifton, amend Senate Committee Substitute Senate Bill Number 17, page 2, section 178.550, line 43, by striking the word, quote, recognized, end quote, and further amend line 44 by striking all of said line and inserting in lieu thereof the following, quote, approved by the United States Department of Labor's Office of Apprenticeship, end quote.
Senator from First, you'd like to explain your amendment?
Yes, Mr. President. It's intended in the nature of a technical amendment. And I'll say that this was brought to me by a constituent who drove to Jefferson City for the hearing on this bill in committee and testified in favor of the bill. So it's intended to support what the bill is trying to accomplish. It is simply making the technical clarification that individuals participating in the apprenticeship would be approved by the U.S. Department of Labor and Industrial Relations, or excuse me, the United States Department of Labor's Office of Apprenticeship, as opposed to the Missouri, recognized by the Missouri Department of Labor and Industrial Relations.
Senator from the First, do you move for the adoption?
I do. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from the First moves for the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 2. Any senator wishing to be heard on that amendment? Senator from Lewis.
I'd like to inquire of him, but I'd also like to see a copy of the amendment if I could. I think they went
back. A copy
back
will be distributed to you. Senator from the First, do you yield to inquiry?
I do.
Proceed.
Yes, we did discuss this with your office. I know our office have been in contact with each other. I just would like to see a copy of the amendment. I'm just, but like I say, it is just better describing what that position is on this commit, on the, okay. I do have that. Better describing what that position is on this advisory council. A little clearer?
That's the intent, yes.
Okay. Bear with me just a minute. Three. Okay. Okay, it looks like it is very good, just to, like I say, explaining it a little clearer, putting it in place where we will have that defined a little bit better for the position.
Right. These apprenticeship organizations are approved by the United States Department of Labor. I believe it's going to be better, stronger, clearer to have that requirement in statute as opposed to the recognized by the Missouri Department.
And I do feel, actually, apprenticeships wasn't one of the things that I'd had on the original bill. But after visiting with them, I realized how important Career Tech is toward their apprenticeship
Well, and I'll tell you, the constituent in question has a very substantial apprenticeship program. And when I say substantial, I mean St. Louis region-wide, right up the street from where I live, actually. It's a very important organization educates a lot of people who do a lot of important work throughout the region, and I really appreciate your willingness to give them a seat at the table here.
Well, and I really enjoy visiting with him, and I enjoyed hearing about his program and what they offered to the skills of our youth and to help train people into the job force.
I appreciate that.
I've looked at your amendment, and it appears to be very good. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Any other senator wishing to be heard on Senate Amendment number 2? Senator from Boone, what reason do you rise?
Inquiry of the Senator from the 1st.
Senator from the 1st, do you yield to inquiry from the Senator from the 19th?
I do.
Senator, I think I know what you're doing, but, you know, I don't know what that approval process is, and I know that, you know, I support the Senator from the 18th's bill, and I know there are a lot of groups in the building today that do, and I've talked to a lot of those groups, and I just, this is another one of those things that you're it doesn't appear to just be a clarification to me. It seems to be a substantive change. And so, but I don't know, again, what the effect is. And so what I would like to do is possibly offer an amendment to your amendment so we actually leave in the senator from the 18th language and then say or and add your language. So we're not shutting something out that at least people who have seen this bill know what's there, and all of a sudden we're going to change it to, because approved by the U.S. Department of Labor, clearly there is a process there that somebody has to go through to get approved, and that's not contemplated in the existing bill. And I don't know if that changes the universe of who the senator from the 18th has this directed towards, but it seems to me that it could, because I don't know what that approval process is.
Well, and let me say this, and I'm certainly no expert on the process either. First and foremost, I would entertain that amendment to the amendment, but I will say, too, you know, to the extent there is an approval process administered at the federal level, I personally do have some degree of comfort that that is a rigorous process that is intended to make sure that the folks that we have that are approved have an apprenticeship program that is, you know.
And I appreciate that, but I got to tell you right now, making anything we do contingent on approval from anything from the federal government is something that gives me great concern.
And I respect that.
Because I will tell you, we're now looking at all the unintended consequences, the waiver on No Child Left Behind that the state of Missouri agreed to, and now we find out there's a whole slew of things that went along with that were never discussed. So yep. This is just another one of those things that I think what you're doing, and I understand it sounds like you have a constituent who needs a slight bit of a tweak on the definition to make sure this applies to them, which I don't have any issue with. I just want to make sure in doing that, we're not cutting out another population of people that the senator from the 18th intended to be covered by this.
Agreed. And two things I'll say about that. One, as a former school board member, I certainly understand what you're talking about the NCLB waiver. But second, I will note that to the extent your amendment to the amendment is forthcoming,
yeah,
that would allow the broadest possible universe. You know, because presumably you're going to have apprenticeship groups that are approved by the United States Department of Labor. You would think that that would imply that they would also be recognized by the Missouri Department of Labor and Industrial Relations, but that's not necessarily the case.
Correct.
Likewise, you may have some who are recognized by DOLR, but not federally approved. With your amendment to the amendment, we would have the broadest universe of possible participants, and I think that that's perfectly appropriate.
Yeah, and I think that way we cause the least amount of mischief here.
And I appreciate that, and I assure you there is no intended mischief in my amendment.
Oh, I'm not implying that there is. It's just always unintended consequences.
And I appreciate that, and obviously that's the reason we have the deliberative and rigorous process that we do.
Thank you, Senator. Mr. President?
Senator from Boone.
I have an amendment.
Is it an amendment to the amendment?
That's correct.
Send your amendment to the amendment forward?
It's a substitute amendment.
Substitute amendment. Madam Secretary, please read the substitute when it arrives.
Senate Substitute Amendment 1 for Senate Amendment Number 2, offered by Senator Schaefer, amend Senate Committee Substitute, Senate Bill Number 17, page 2, section 178.550, line 44, by inserting immediately after the word, quote, relations, end quote, the following, quote, or approved by the United States Department of Labor's Office of Apprenticeship, end quote.
I do ask that it be read as it just was because it has not been distributed. And I would move for its adoption.
Would you like to explain your amendment?
Yeah, basically, as we just heard from the senator from the 1st and the senator from the 18th, this leaves the language that the senator from the 18th had, and rather than replacing it with the language from the senator from the 1st, it just adds the senator from the 1st language after an or, just clarification.
Senator Moon moves for the adoption of Senate Substitute Amendment Number 1 to Senate Amendment Number 2. Any discussion on that amendment? Senator from 1st.
To speak on the substitute amendment.
Proceed.
I support the substitute amendment and request that my colleagues vote in favor.
Any other senator wishing to be heard on Senate Substitute Amendment Number 1? Seeing none, Senator from Boone.
I close.
Senator Boone renews his motion to adopt Senate Substitute Amendment Number 1 to Senate Amendment Number 2. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senate Substitute Amendment is adopted. We're back on Senate Amendment Number 2. Any discussion? Any further discussion? Seeing none, Senator from 2nd.
Close.
Senator from the 1st renews his motion on Senate Amendment Number 2. I stand corrected. We're on the substitute, replace the Senate Amendment Number 2. We're back on the Senate substitute. Any further discussion on the Senate substitute? Seeing none, Senator from Lewis, you're recognized to close on the committee sub.
Thank you, Mr. President. I renew my motion for the adoption of the Senate committee substitute.
Senator from Lewis renews his motion to adopt Senate committee substitute as amended. Those of opinion that that motion should prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Lewis.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that Senate Bill Number 17, as amended by the Senate Committee Substitute, be declared perfected and order printed.
Senator from Lewis renews his motion that Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 17 be declared perfected and order printed. As many of the opinion that motion should prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. It has been declared perfected and ordered printed. Senator from Newt. Staying on that calendar. Senator from Phelps. Senate Bill 110, Senator from Phelps.
Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill Number 110 be taken up for perfection.
Hearing Senator's motion, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Phelps.
Mr. President, I now move that Senate Bill Number 110 be declared perfected and ordered printed. And, Mr. President, Senate Bill 110 is something that we've been working on a while with different veterans groups in the state of Missouri, and it actually pertains to deployed parents. And it establishes some guidelines for child custody and visitation rights of the deploying parent. And the deployed parent may be a military parent who's received written orders to deploy with United States Army, the Navy, Air Force, Marine Corps, Coast Guard, National Guard, or any other reserve component. And what it tries to do is to this deploying parent give them some rights during their deployment. In other words, in the past, what we've seen happen is maybe someone's in the middle of a divorce or they are divorced and they get deployed and the non-deploying parent, either he or she, goes to the court and gets some of the custody visitation orders changed. And we're saying that that deploying parent, those acts can't occur until they're at least 90 days after the deployment ends and they're back home. It also makes temporary modifications to be more reasonable for accommodating a party that's due to deploy rapidly. You know, some of these deployments now, some of the military people have a 48-hour notice for deployment. Some are a 30-day notice, and it allows them a little more time of visitation with the child before they're actually deployed, and sometimes they don't come back. So further, the Act requires that the non-deploying parent provide a 30-day advance notice to the court and the deploying parent for any change of address or contact information so that they can stay in contact with the children. And then after deployment, a temporary modification should automatically end no later than 30 days after they returned home. If there is felt to be child abuse or something going on, allegedly immediate danger, irreparable harm, that they would be granted an emergency hearing and this be worked out within 10 days. And the delegation of visitation is provided for in here. In other words, a deploying parent can have a grandparent or a brother or someone close to the family utilize part of their visitation time or all their visitation time if the courts so agree, and there has to be.
Senator from Nottoway has a bottle. Water, breaking the rules. Senator, you know better. Go ahead, Senator Phelps.
The additional provision is that a non-deploying parent is required to provide a copy of his or her orders to the non-deploying parent promptly and without delay. In other words, they can't be playing the game either. And, you know, that's kind of the gist of the legislation. Like I say, we worked on this pretty hard in committee. I made sure that Senator from 15th had adequate time to look this over. He feels that it's pretty good and a good step to take to kind of protect the rights of deployed parents. And if there are questions, I will attempt to answer those.
Senator from Phelps moves that Senate Bill 110 be declared perfected and ordered printing. Any senator wishing to be heard? Senator from Johnson, what reason do you rise?
I'd like to inquire the bill handler.
Senator from Phelps, do you yield to Senator from Johnson?
I do.
Proceed.
Thank you. Thank you very much for offering this bill. And you know, I think as a society, we can't do enough for those that are being deployed.
Right.
And a tremendous sacrifice for them, but I think sometimes it's a bigger sacrifice for the folks back home.
Right.
And so helping them just is very, very important. And, you know, a lot of times we think it's just around our major military installations, but this happens all across the state.
Right.
And of course, we represent areas where there's large numbers. I have not had a chance to go through the entire bill. I just had a question. I just want to ask you if there's anything in here about residency for schools. This is more for visitation and custody and
right.
legal things as opposed to a permanent school. Is that right?
Absolutely. This is an issue that comes up a lot, as you well know, you know, in my area and your area, but it also affects National Guard and other people that are deploying. And there's been some things done to guys, you know, a court proceeding. He's in Iraq, Afghanistan, and he doesn't show up for the hearing, so he
right.
loses all custody. And that's basically all we're addressing at this point.
Right, right. Yep. Well, I think it's a great piece of legislation, and it's our active duty guard reserve. They all deserve this. So.
Right. And I think it's long overdue. You know, veterans group has been behind this for quite some time. This is kind of their number one issue this year. They always have a lot of concerns, but this has really got to be a big problem in the active duty military.
Okay, thank you. I'll
thank
be supportive.
You.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It.
Any other senator desire to be heard on Senate Bill number 110? Seeing none, Senator from Phelps, you're recognized to close on your motion.
I renew my motion.
Senator from Phelps renews his motion to on Senate Bill 110 to be declared perfected and ordered printed. As many of the opinion that motion should prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is ordered, declared perfected and ordered printed. Senator from Barry on Senate Bill 197.
Okay, Mr. President. Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 197 be taken up for perfection.
Heard the motion from the Senator from Barry. Those of the opinion that motion should prevail, say aye. Those to the contrary, say no. The aye appears to have it. The aye does have it. Senator from Barry.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that Senate Bill 197 be declared perfected and ordered printed.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Barry. Would you like to explain your bill?
Yes, Mr. President. Mr. President, this deals with tuberculosis, which is Mycobacterium tuberculosis. TB is still a very dangerous and lethal disease throughout the world, and it still is that way in the United States. It's a very contagious disease, and the proper amount of monitoring this is good public health policy. TB can be transmitted by coughing, by sneezing, by speaking, or even by kissing. But this particular bill modifies current provisions relating to the TB treatment, prevention, and commitment. We do have current law right now that requires a person found to have TB to obtain the required treatment and to minimize the risk of infection and allow for a TB patient to be committed under certain circumstances. This bill specifies that local public health authorities may institute proceedings to petition for directly observed therapy or commitment of the person with TB. This bill also says that all employees and volunteers of a health care facility should be tested for TB upon employment as recommended by the most recent federal guidelines from the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention. And I would interject, Mr. President, that I work part-time occasionally as a pharmacist at Mercy Hospital in my hometown, and every year I have to have a TB time test. This also requires all institutions of higher education in the state to implement a TB screening and targeted testing program for all on-campus students. Any entering student who does not comply with the TB screenings and targeted testing programs may not be permitted to maintain enrollment in the subsequent semester. We have found that we have a large number of foreign students that come to our shores, and we're glad that they're here, to obtain their higher education. But it's found that 62% of all the TB cases in this country, in Missouri especially, are connected with foreign students. We used to have a hospital in Mount Vernon called the Mount Vernon Chest Hospital. And what has happened is that that was closed down a number of years ago. And so we are sending, when we have to quarantine an active TB case, we have to send that person right now to South Carolina. And this is costing us over $300 a day to do this. This would allow the Department of Health and the local public health authority to quarantine these people locally and then have direct observed therapy on them to make sure they're taking their medication. I'd be glad to answer any questions, but Mr. President, I do have an amendment. It has been distributed, and I request a waiver of the reading.
Senator from Barry, please send your amendment forward. And seeing no objection, a waiver will be granted. Would you like to explain your amendment?
Yes, Mr. President. There's a couple of just grammatical errors and additions that we needed to make. One of them, there was a word in the original statute called oftener, and we didn't really know what that meant. So we put the word more to translate that. We used the phrase Institute of Higher Education rather than the phrase college or university. We thought that would capture that better. And it consistently specifies that the targeted testing program shall be for all students and faculty. And it provides that if an institution does not have a student health center or similar facility, such persons identified in the targeting testing program to be at risk for TB shall be referred to the local public Health Agency. A targeted testing program is basically a questionnaire that we give the students when they enter to see if they have come from a country that is indigenous with TB, or maybe a student that doing overseas study that is a U.S. Student. And so this is just a good way. With that, I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Senator from Barry moves for adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1. Any senator desiring to be heard? Senator from the 5th, what reason do you rise?
Inquire the senator from the 29th. Thank you.
Senator from the 29th, do you yield to inquiry?
I yield.
Proceed.
Good afternoon, Senator. How are you?
Good afternoon. It is afternoon, isn't it?
Yes, sir. So, do we have an issue in the state of Missouri with TB?
Yes, we do.
Approximately how many cases do we have?
About 3.4 cases per 100,000 people.
So give me the hard number.
200 or 300.
200 or 300 cases?
Uh-huh. We okay. have both. There's two different types. We have latent tuberculosis, which is the non-contagious, that has not developed symptoms yet, which are most of the cases. And then we have active tuberculosis cases, which needs to be vigorously treated because of the... it causes death.
What's the fiscal note on this particular piece of legislation?
Let's see.
And what type of response did you get from the universities on your fiscal note?
Well, the universities are able to, they usually have health student centers, which take care of but the students would be responsible themselves for the, if they were targeted and as a possible carrier of TB, yeah. They would be responsible for their own testing. But the test is less than $10. And also, if a student didn't have the money, they could go to the local public health agency and have it done free.
Okay, Senator. Again, what's the fiscal note on this?
Yeah, let me look. Okay, it's less than $100,000.
Less than $100,000?
Yes.
I would love to see the fiscal note. So if you can give me a copy of that fiscal note, I would greatly appreciate it.
Sure.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you.
Any other senator desire to be heard on Senate Amendment Number 1? Senator from the 10th is fast on her feet.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I inquire of the senator from the 4th?
Senator from the 4th? Senator from the 4th, do you yield to inquiry from the senator from the 10th? Proceed.
Senator, I wanted to bring something to your attention. It's my understanding that TB is a very serious disease, and I have seen increasingly more and more schools voluntarily putting in TB screenings. I also wasn't sure if you were aware of this, but zoos require their employees to get TB screens because TB can actually be transferred to primates. And I know you have a really huge place in your heart for primates. And I just wanted to know if you were aware of this, if you think that there might need to be an amendment put onto this to protect the primate population. I just am looking out for your best interest, Senator.
You know what? I thank you very much, Senator. That fact was brought to my attention just this morning. I'm seriously considering adding my primate bill to this tuberculosis bill.
I think it might be a good fit. I think that it would be a place that, you're just looking out for the primates of the state.
It's all in the best interest of the animal.
All right, all right. Well, maybe we could at least put that piece in there then. All right.
Thank you, Senator.
Any other senator desire to be heard on Senate Amendment Number 1? Senator from Buchanan.
To inquire of the senator from Barry.
Senator from Barry, do you yield to inquiry?
I yield.
We're talking about... 07S, the amendment, 07S.
Yes, we are.
Okay. Thank you for handling this most important consumption bill.
And I forgot to add that that in the amendment, we had the attending physician in conjunction with.
Right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Any other senator desire to be heard on Senate Amendment Number 1? Seeing none, Senator from Berry, you're recognized to close on Senate Amendment Number 1.
I close, Mr. President.
Senator from Berry renews his motion to adopt Senate Amendment Number 1. Those to the opinion that motion should prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The amendment is adopted. Any other senator desire to be heard on Senate Bill 197? Senator from 31st.
Thank you, Mr. President, to inquire of the Senator from Berry.
Senator from Berry, do you yield?
I yield.
Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. And I listened to your remarks on the reason for this legislation. I confess I do have a little bit of discomfort in, you know, mandating the universities to do the testing, but I understand the threat that is perceived.
Thank you. It is a very serious matter.
And I understand that, and I appreciate you taking time this morning to give me a little fuller explanation of it.
I enjoyed it.
However, I still have some concerns on page 6 page 7. Is that where it is? Where's our felony?
Page 7.
Page 7 is
page
our 7, felony.
Line 12.
Where we now associate a felony with what I consider to be either a misunderstanding or a disagreement that someone who has been infected might have with their physician or the Department of Health. And I know you're trying hard here to make sure that this doesn't get spread, that because of the obviously it is a deathly illness that or can turn into death.
Yes.
I am disappointed that Mount Vernon is no longer treating these. At one time it was, I think, one of the highest rated
yes.
lung mm-hmm. treatment centers.
Mount Vernon happens to be in my senatorial district.
Yeah, and my father, who had emphysema for years, had spent time there and was always felt like he got much better treatment there than he did in the local hospitals.
At the local hospital.
He would have dinner there, yeah. And then he was always pleased if he was transferred to Mount Vernon because they really seemed to know what they were doing there. I didn't realize that they were no longer dealing with these kinds of diseases, and I understand you're trying to get some control over the cost of the quarantine, and I think that's probably a good idea. But I am concerned that in what could be as something as simple as a misunderstanding, we're now charging someone with a felony, taking away their right to vote, taking away their right for concealed carry, and a number of things that are associated with a felony. And so I'm hoping to maybe change that, Senator, and I didn't know if you were willing to let me work on an amendment to do that. I have.
I sure am, and you know, right now we have no teeth in the legislation to enforce what we're trying to do, to enforce how we're trying to protect the public, and so that's why we put a felony in there. And I see your amendment here, and you've changed it to a B misdemeanor and an A misdemeanor.
That's correct.
And I would be happy with that.
Okay.
And if we find out in another year or two that this is not enough, and there's cases that are going by that people are just continuing to repeat, you know, their offense, then maybe we could do something else. But for right now, I would be very satisfied with this.
Thank you, Senator. Mr. President, I have an amendment.
Senator from Barton, send your amendment. Send your amendment forward, asking for a waiver of the reading. Seeing no objection, a waiver will be granted. Would you like to explain your amendment?
Yes. The senator from Berry has already briefly explained it, in that it's changing from a felony to making a felonious offense to not subscribe to the doctor's advice. It makes it a misdemeanor. If a person just simply doesn't follow the advice and counsel of that doctor, then it would be a B misdemeanor, which I think is a maximum of $500 fine and a short potential of up to 6 months jail sentence, which I think is pretty significant. If I was a physician and I diagnosed someone with TB and advised them, which would be my duty as a attending physician, it would be to advise them that they needed to report to the local health department or whatever the statute requires, and that if they failed to do that, they could be subject to a $500 fine and 6 months in jail. I would think that would get their attention, because typically we're not looking at felons in this diagnosis. We're looking at people that have a tendency to obey the law. They're not trying to infect anyone. They may just not understand how severe TB is, and that certainly would give a severity to that. If they did ignore that warning, then it takes it to a Class A misdemeanor, which is up to a $1,000 fine and up to a year in jail. I think that short of taking this to a felony, which I'm very reluctant to do on this kind of offense because of the severe impact that it has on them personally, that this amendment would improve the legislation. It would still be just as enforceable. It would still be, I believe, give the doctor just as much leverage to ensure the patient understood the threat, and that it would preserve what the senator from Barry is trying to do. So I move for its adoption.
Senator from Barton moves for the adoption of Senate Amendment number 2. Any senator desire to be heard on Senate Amendment number 2? Senator from the 5th.
President, to inquire the senator from the 31st.
Senator from Barton, do you yield?
Yes, sir.
Proceed.
Senator, I would just like to thank you for bringing this amendment forward, because it was very hard for me to swallow the provision coming from Senator from the Barry District. So I commend you for that. I truly believe that we don't need to make this a felony charge. Like you said, it really hurts individuals when it comes to the right to vote and conceal and carry and things of that sort. So this is a great compromise, and I just want to commend you for bringing forth this amendment. Thank you very much. It was very hard for me to swallow at first, but not now.
Any other senators desire to be heard on Senate Amendment number 2? Seeing none, Senator from Barry, you're recognized to close. Senator from Barton, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I renew my motion.
Senator from Barton renews his motion to adopt Senate Amendment number 2. Those to the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senate Amendment number 2 passes. Is adopted. We're back on Senate Bill 197. Any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from Phelps.
Yes, may I inquire, Senator from Barry?
Senator Barry, you yield? Proceed.
Senator, we heard this bill in Veterans Affairs and Health Committee.
Yes,
and I really want to commend you for bringing
it. Chairman of that committee has really done a good job.
Yeah, and I really want to commend you for bringing this forward. I had a little reservation about reducing or watering down the charges, and I want to relay just a little bit of information to members that might not be aware. I have a little more knowledge of the university in my district, which is Missouri University of Missouri, S&T. We have a pretty large contingent of foreign students that come to campus there. They do have a kind of a targeted testing program. And the nurses that work in the health facility and the doctors that work there are very frustrated often in the fact that they test these students, and believe it or not, a large percentage have active TB at a young age. And then medications are prescribed. They go through an extensive program trying to educate them of how important this is, because they do live in our community. They work in our community, and a lot of times they work in the food industry. And then they tell me the compliance of the patient to taking the medication is about zero. And they feel that their hands are tied. They're spending all their time trying to run them down, trying to say, you know, why aren't you taking your meds? Why aren't you getting the refills? So I think this bill brings a real problem to light. Because what you realize is people that have an active case of TB and are shedding the organism are not just a danger to themselves, but everyone they're in contact with. It's not an easily contracted disease, but it's a very difficult to treat disease, and it can be a very deadly disease. So thank you for bringing this forward. I think it's going to give them a little more teeth in enforcing regulations. And, you know, I would have personally went farther than you did. I hear the talks of compromise. What you got to realize, that's your family, that's your children. You know, I think that when we know they exist, we must clean it up.
Yes.
Or not accept them.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Any other senator desire to be heard on Senate Bill 197? Senator from the 30th. Senator from Green, what reason do you rise?
Mr. President, I would like to inquire of the senator from the 10th.
Senator from the 10th, do you yield? Proceed.
Senator, thank you for talking with me here, and as we're discussing this, I just want to compliment the senator from Barry for his work on this, and it really does seem to be from, I was listening in my office, and it really does seem that there's a problem, and I appreciate him trying to address this, but I thought that this would be a good opportunity for us to talk about a bill that you're working on that you've, I believe, filed last week or the week before.
Yeah, I think it's been on file for a couple of weeks, and of course we filed it last year as well, and that's a rewrite of the criminal code. And it's interesting that you would bring it up, because part of the reason we're rewriting the criminal code is because we haven't done it since the 1970s, and since that time, we've passed hundreds, maybe even thousands, of these type of pieces of legislation, and it's
all
been
necessary. But
all, I think probably lots of them were necessary, and I think that there's, I think this is necessary. I think the senator from Barton had a great amendment. I think dropping it down to a misdemeanor makes sense. But part of what we're having a difficult time doing is every time we make a little bit of advancement on the criminal code, another great idea comes forward, and it kind of pushes our, kicks our can just a little bit further down the road.
And I know we visited briefly before I asked for the inquiry. I'm not sure, without going into look at the list of chapters, I don't know if these chapters are covered in there, because I know we're really looking at specific chapters, and I appreciate your leadership over the interim with the joint interim committee. And can you kind of describe for those that are listening what that testimony was like and how in-depth some of that was?
Yeah, I mean, we actually went through chapter by chapter on all of those specific chapters that are covered by the legislation, and really got an in-depth look of what is currently a crime in the state of Missouri, and our attempt to get them all under one umbrella.
And it's sort of, it's like we've got a real mishmash of things. There's really no continuity to the code now, because it's been 40 years since it's been updated, and it's just sort of like a patchwork.
Right. And you know, Senator, one of the things that we've committed to is we're not creating any new crimes in this code, and we're also not decriminalizing anything at all, because we wanted to make sure that we wanted to give a comfort level to our fellow legislators that we're not going to be attempting to do anything controversial with this. Instead, what we're trying to do is streamline it so we have a more effective tool. So, yeah, Senator, I think this is something that this bill is important. I think it's something that we need to, you know, consider as a body, but then moving forward, we're going to need to fold this into our criminal code as we advance that down the road, and this will have to be part of that consideration.
Well, again, I'm hopeful that we can take this holistic look, and I know you and I have discussed a little bit. We've got some long hearings ahead of us, because we need to be able to expand public hearing and be able to really look at that with our committee, but really taking a comprehensive approach, because if we don't, we're going to wind up just making the mishmash even more complicated out there going forward. So I'm hopeful that we can do that, and I thought it would be a good time to just express an invitation to all of our colleagues that we want to have, you know, any input we can, and the counsel of our colleagues as we move forward in this process, and make sure that it's comprehensive, not just with what the committee's working on, but anything that members have that might affect that. So
right, and I think if every senator could take a look at the legislation that they have filed, and if there are criminal provisions, maybe come and figure out how we can fit those into what the work that we're going to be doing over the next several months or years in your committee.
Well, I thank you, and thank you for the work. I know the Missouri Bar did about, what was it, 3 years of work to get to the
compromise? I think they went and did about 5 years. So.
Wow.
Yeah. Thank you, Senator. I appreciate your leadership on this, and I look forward to working with you on it.
Well, and I thank you, and I want to reiterate my thanks to the Senator from Barry and also Barton. I thank you for mentioning his work and bringing this forward to us. Certainly an issue that we need to deal with. So thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Any other senator wishing to be heard on Senate Bill 197? Seeing none, Senator from Barry, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the Senate Bill 197, as amended, be declared perfected and ordered printed.
Senator from Barry renews his motion that Senate Bill 197, as amended, be declared perfected and ordered printing. As many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill will be ordered, declared perfected and ordered printed. Senator from Newton.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of reports of standing committees.
We're going to the order of business of reports for standing committees.
Mr. President.
The Senator from Newton.
I have a report.
Send your report forward. Madam Secretary, when it arrives, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, to which was referred Senate substitute for Senate Bill No. 28, begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, to which was referred Senate substitute No. 2, for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill No. 1, begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished to the senators are correct. Respectfully, Senator Richard, Chairman.
Senator from St. Charles.
Thank you, Mr. President. Please refer Senate Substitute No. 2 for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 1 to the Committee on Governmental Accountability and Fiscal Oversight.
It will be referred. Senator from Newton.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements.
On the order of business of announcements. Senator from the 15th.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Jobs, Economic Development, and Local Government will meet promptly at 1 p.m. in the Senate Lounge, and we will go until we are finished.
Any other announcements? Seeing no one, Senator from Newton.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business is coming for the body. I move the Senate stand in recess till 4:30 p.m. this day.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Newton. Are all those of opinion that motion should prevail, say aye.
Aye.
To the contrary, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. We'll stand in recess till 4:30 today.